Let's all stand on our feet and we'll read a few verses of Galatians 1. You do not need help standing. How old are you?
I need Jesus. I'm crippled.
You could stand all day.
You're a Christian, right?
You're right in your youth.
Jesus is right there.
Jesus is right there.
More Jesus.
We need like 5 cups of
Jesus.
Jesus
is on his side. That's what it is.
Galatians, Ephesians.
Philippians.
Galatians, Ephesians.
Colossians.
Galatians and Ephesians. Okay.
Galatians
1, verse 1. Let's read it together. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this morning to have had an extra hour to sleep and to turn to your word now and study it together, to have worshiped you and praised you face to face in your presence, having boldly approached your throne to thank you for your grace and your love, and now to receive from you through your word and through studying it together. We pray that you would speak through me to us, Lord, that we can grow together and that our hearts would be prepared to receive all that you have for us. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Grab a seat, y'all. You're lightheaded? Drink some cocoa. Burn your taste buds on some cocoa. You'll be all better. That was mean. Just kidding. No, I'm kidding. That wasn't me. Yep. Welcome to Thrive Junior High. So, I want to take you guys down a walk down memory lane. It might just be my memory, but I think some of you will relate to this. Maybe. I might just be the weird one. But when I was a young kid, we're talking like this height right here. Yeah. What would that be?
Baby
what, like 5'6"?
Maybe Isaac.
No. 4?
Is that like my height?
The stage of life.
No, that's like first grade.
No, that's not Sam's.
5'6".
So anyway, around those times, there's this thing that would occasionally happen to me, and I feel like it happened to some of you, maybe not, but I feel like because I was kind of a space cadet as a kid, like I would just zone out on things, it happened to me more regularly. But I would be like in a public place, maybe a mall or like an amusement park, somewhere where there's a lot of people walking with my parents, and I knew as a little kid that if my dad was wearing blue jeans and like a white hoodie, that if I stick with the guy with the blue jeans and the white hoodie, that I won't get lost and I'm good. But then sometimes another person in like blue jeans and a white shirt would roll up on the other side of me. And then as the little like space cadet that I was, I would just start cruising with that person. Because in my peripherals, I'm like, okay, dad's right here. I can just cruise with him and we're all good. Now, most of the time, I would end up, like, after a few minutes or whatever, looking up and then realize, that's not my dad, that's a woman! And then I would, like, I'd have, like, a little heart attack. But, like, most of the time, my parents would either be, like, a little bit ahead of me or a little bit behind me. But occasionally, there were times where I would, like, thinking that this person that in my peripherals is like my parent, I would like cruise with them, like walk into a store with them, and I'm just like, why are we here? Why are we here at Forever 21? And then like I look around and my parents are like way over there and I have to like run to them. And luckily for me, I never got lost, but I don't think I ever got lost. No, I don't think I ever got lost doing that. One time I got lost in Winco, but I made it out. But The point that I'm making is, as I would be walking, it would be easy for me as a young kid to get led by someone that looked very similar to my parents or dressed very similar to my parents, but they weren't my parents. And I was quickly led away from where I should be to somewhere else. So the Galatians today, what we're looking at, had been shown the truth, the direction they should be going by Paul the Apostle. Paul shared with them the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and he gave them the knowledge and the tools that were necessary to continue in that truth. But after a while, the Galatians, the Christians in Galatia, they allowed certain people to creep into their church, teaching a doctrine, teaching something that was against the truth of the gospel. They were spreading a teaching that looked very similar to the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it sounded different. There were these very key attributes of it that were different. So the Christians in Galatia, they needed to be shown the ways that they were being led astray by these false teachings. And thus we have the book of Galatians. So this is the next series that we're going to look at, our life in Christ. And we're going to, as we go through this series, we're going to understand why we're calling it life in Christ. Whoa. Whoa.
Whoa.
What?
I don't know. Did you hear that?
What is happening?
Yeah. I guess I shouldn't shake the mic.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Story of my life. I need new ones, too. So, the series that we're going to be going through, we're going to be moving through Galatians verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And it's just one book, so not book by book. And it's a short book, it's just 6 chapters, but it's got a lot of content in it. So we'll be cruising through, we're not going to rush through it, we're just going to take our sweet time, and we're going to focus on what this tells us about the life in Christ that we receive from Jesus, but also how to live in Christ. You could even say like the mark of Christ that we as people bear in this world, as Christians who have been born again. So, the book of Galatians is a letter, for those of you who didn't know. It's a letter, and like any letter, there's a few things that we need to know before we start looking at the contents of the letter. And those things are, and what we're going to look at this morning, are the sender, the receiver, and the reason. So we're going to look at who's sending the letter, who's receiving the letter, and then the reason the letter is being written. So if you're taking notes, those are our 3 points today. One of them you know very well, or you should by now, hopefully. Ah, delicious hot cocoa. Not a sponsor.
Delicious.
Spill. I don't like
it. Spill it.
Is this too dark? I think it's a little too sweet.
To be honest.
A little too sweet for me. So let's start looking at the sender. And we see the sender right away. Literally, first word of the book. The sender is identified. Who is it?
A sender.
Wait, like sender or cinder?
Sender. Sender.
Oh, you said cinder. I'm like, what? I'm like, wait, a cinder block?
What? Okay, really? Okay, sorry. Sender of the letter. Anybody?
Paul!
Whoa, you guys are theologians! Wow, this is crazy. Yeah, it's Paul. So, Paul's the writer of the letter. This is the same Paul who originally went by Saul. Yeah, good job, guys. Saul. It's the same Saul who was a devout Jew, who lived by the Jewish law, persecuted Christians who lived by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The same Saul who had a face-to-face encounter with the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus. This is the same Paul who became a world missionary as they knew the world at their time, as like they understood the world to be. So he was traveling in the known world at his time and a missionary to that. And it's the same Paul who wrote a large amount of the New Testament. But as we read in verse 1, we're told more about where this letter is coming from than just being someone whose name is Paul, just being Paul the Apostle. It says, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Verse 2, and all the brethren who are with me. So Paul is very clear, right in verse 1, to say that the cases that are made in Galatians, this letter, I'm not going to say who it's to yet. I almost did, but I'm not, keeping you at suspense. Yep. This letter that's written to a group of Christians, and the cases that are made by Paul in this letter, he's clear to say that these do not come from the knowledge and understanding of human beings. This is not of men, and it's not through men. It's not being produced through the wisdom of men, but Paul says it's directly from Jesus and God, which is important because Paul is really calling them out in this letter. He's showing them a mistake that is being made, and he's correcting it. And that can be hard to hear, and it can be hard to receive, but when you know it is from Jesus, when it's from God, a message from God, it's maybe not easier to take, but you understand the importance of it. And then Paul even goes a step further to say, even if that were not enough, he tells us that this letter was not only approved by him, that he wasn't the only person who wrote it and read it and could have written whatever he wanted, but it was approved by all the fellow Christians who are with him. He calls them all the brethren who are with me. So this letter, before it was sent off, was seen by a lot of different eyes. A lot of different Christians were able to read it and say, oh, this is totally dumb, Paul. Don't do that. Or they were probably more like, wow, this is really wise. This is definitely from the Lord. You need to send this to them, even if it will be hard for them to hear. So that's who it's from. It's not just Paul. This is God writing through Paul, as all the letters are, but Paul is very specific to say it in this one. God is writing through him to the people of, this is where we get to our receiver. We see it in verse 2, the churches of Galatia. Bah, bah, bah. I know. So dramatic. So, Galatia was a province of the Roman Empire. We're going to get a little geographical, which I'm not down with geography, but for those of you who are, here we go.
Yeah.
Who's down with geography? Not me. I'm not down with geography. I'm so bad at it. They're like, name the seven continents. I'm like,
America.
Canada, Mexico, Hawaii, Alaska. Is that seven? Whoa, that's a big
continent. And she's like dead serious.
That's a nice continent.
I've got get continent of three.
I was just talking about
dope stuff. Like,
yes, I'm very bad.
I wouldn't have even noticed that. I'm not good at geography. But for those of you who are, Galatia was in Asia. It was in what would now be modern day Turkey. If you're cool with that, if you're still cruising. Not the food, not the food, but the place. It's a place. Believe it or not.
Does it look like a turkey?
It's a turkey-shaped continent.
It is?
No, it's not a continent.
It's
a it's a country. Huh? Yeah. Oh man.
Okay.
Oh gosh.
Then basically it just stops.
Are you guys all rattling off your geography knowledge right now? This is awesome. So the majority of Christian churches in Galatia, they would have been maybe not directly planted by Paul, but they would have been planted as a result of Paul's ministry. Because Paul did missions trip, or I believe just one mission trip, to the Asia Minor. That was Paul traveling to Asia to preach the gospel to them. So these Christians would have heard the complete and true gospel of Jesus Christ from Paul. And this is written to the Christians who made up the churches of Galatia. So Paul writes this to Christians who are active in their church and who are plugged into their church, who are attending on a regular basis, who are a part of a church currently. And he writes to an issue that is not going on around the church, or that it's not going on with just a few people within the church, but it is going on in the church as a whole. And it's this issue that has crept into the entire church. So I believe we can go a step further when reading Galatians to say that this is not only written by Paul,
written by Paul
through Jesus.
Yeah.
That's the way to say it.
Written
by Jesus through Paul. No, because if it's through Paul, then Paul inspired Jesus. Yeah, it's by Paul. No, it's written by Paul through Jesus. Because it's through the power of Jesus that it's written. But I feel like, okay. I don't know if you can Google that. That's like...
You can Google anything.
I don't know how you would Google that. Okay, but you guys get the idea. So, I believe that we can not only say that this is written to the Christians in Galatia at that time, but that Paul writes this letter to us as well. As Christians who are actively a part of a church, who are attending a church, and who gather in that church regularly, and as Christians who have heard the gospel, the true simplicity of the gospel, and as Christians who are continuing within that church. This isn't written to Christians who are leaving the church and like following something else. This is written to something that has come into the church and become a part of the church, to the people within the church. So not only is this written to Galatia, a couple thousand years ago, but this is also written to us because we are in church. We are the church. We make up the church of Jesus. So this is written to us as well. And there's so much stuff for us to get from this. I think it's going to be real good. But let's close looking at the reason. The reason that this is written. And we get a glimpse of the reason in verses 3 through 4. Paul says, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ," a very common greeting from Paul. Verse 4, "who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father." So Paul writes this letter for two main reasons. First, he writes it to remind the people in Galatia of the true and simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you guys realize how simple the gospel is? That to receive eternal life, we just believe in Jesus, put our faith in him, and we receive everlasting life. That's so simple. Jesus did so much. The work of Jesus is intense and it's magnificent and wonderful. But the gospel, to receive that gift from Jesus, is so simple. So Paul writes this to remind them of the true and simple gospel of Jesus Christ. But then second, he writes this to correct a mistake that was being made within the churches of Galatia. And it's a mistake that was leading them away from the truth, away from the truth of the gospel. And the mistake that was being made in the Galatians, in their churches, it was really simple. It was such a simple mistake, so easy to make, But as Paul is going to spend most of this letter showing us, this is a very important issue. And here's the mistake that they were making. The people in Galatia were beginning to add to the gospel. And it was spreading like wildfire within the churches. They were adding to the simplicity and to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were essentially saying, yes, the sacrifice of Jesus has the power to save us if we put our faith in him, but in order to receive that redeeming power, we must live by the Jewish law. We must live by the old Jewish law. This is the same law that Jesus freed us from by the power of his sacrifice. And the language that Paul uses to describe this issue to us, it's really intense language. Paul says in verse 4, he includes this false teaching when he says this phrase, the present evil age. Now, so often we hear a phrase like the present evil age, and we think of, as a church, as the church, the body of Christ, we think of the world around us. What's happening in the world around us, in this age around us? But Paul is showing us that this present evil age, that there are things that have crept into the church that may not have been noticed, that are there currently, that need to be addressed. And this teaching that there is more necessary for you to do to receive life in Jesus, to receive your life in Christ, to receive the gospel, the good news, this teaching is part of that present evil in this age. And just as it was evil in that age, it still is today. Just as Paul viewed this as an important issue back then to the people of Galatia, this is still an important issue for us today. Now, I'm going to go out on a huge limb and assume that most of you, unless you have like Jewish ancestors, you probably aren't naturally drawn to the Jewish law. You're like, I doubt it. Like, no, nobody, right? Okay, good. That's cool.
I have a few Jewish ancestors, but not many.
But you're not clinging to the Torah?
No, that's good. I mean, we should.
The Torah is the first 5 books of the Bible, where we have like the law and everything. Yeah.
Which is good.
We should cling to those because they reveal so much to us about the character of God, but we are no longer bound by that law, by the power of Jesus.
I think there are children in the world too, because they were in Germany. Most of my ancestors were in Germany.
Really?
Wow. And it's kind of during the time, during maybe beginning, middle, or end of World War
II. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's crazy. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Wow. That's
intense.
But even though most of us aren't naturally drawn to the Jewish law, as humans, we have this natural tendency to cling to things that are concrete, to cling to things that are tangible, that maybe we can touch with our own hands, that we can see with our own eyes. We look for things that are measurable. Things that we can measure and see with our own eyes and say, this person's doing it really well and this person is not doing it so well. So though we may not be drawn to the old Jewish law, we may, without even noticing it, we may add things to the gospel because it's in our human nature. Because as we've already talked about, the gospel is so simple. And so we do things like, in order to be saved, maybe we don't make this clear line in our mind, but we say, in order to maintain my relationship with God, I need to read my Bible every single day. Or I'm not walking with the Lord if that happens. But that is not the truth. Jesus never said, I came to seek and to save those who are going to read their Bible every single day. No, Jesus came to save those in need of him who would put their faith in him. And so when we say things like, I got to read my Bible every day to be saved, we have added to the gospel. When we say, I can't talk to people like that because they're going to lead me astray, or because if I talk to people like that, I'm not a true Christian, we have led ourselves away from the true gospel. And we can do this in so many areas of our lives. Saying that because I watch this, that's proof that I'm a Christian. Or because I don't watch this, it's proof that I'm a Christian. Or since that person watches that, they can't possibly be saved because they're okay with watching that or doing that. And so we have this tendency to take a gospel that's so simple and add to it, mix it to the things that we say are noble in our culture, or the things that we say are righteous. And there should be righteous fruit in the life of a Christian, and we're going to spend most of the time in this book defining what all of this looks like. But when we add to the gospel, when we add to it saying that you must do this, or you can't do that, or you, in order to be saved, you have to act like this, you have to live like this. Even to say, in order to be saved, you need to live like Jesus, that's not the truth. To be saved, we need to put our faith in Jesus and then fall in love with him. And that as we fall in love with him, our lives will naturally change and the growth will occur. But that's not required for being saved. To be saved, we put our faith in him. And he does the work. It's so simple. It's almost too simple for our human minds to be just okay with. But these mistakes that can be so commonly made, these are included in the phrase when Paul says, the present evil age. There's also a tendency in Christian groups for them to believe something in one way and continue in that way. I just got so distracted. Did you?
What?
I know. Space cadet. I get so distracted. I'm not going to say why. Somebody knows why. Yeah. But Christians have everybody. Every type of people.
Neither.
American. Just because I'm American. Science. But groups of people have this tendency, when they're gathered together, to start thinking in a direction and to think, oh, that's okay. And, oh, that's normal. And, oh, that's the way it's always been. Because when groups are together, we think, oh, this is the way the group is. This is the way it's normal. This is the way people are. And it's called groupthink, technically speaking. It's when we're gathered in a group and we continue in that group for a long period of time, months, years, and we start to think the same way. We start to think that what happens in our group and what's said in our group is the norm. That's the norm, or that's right. And so Christians have this tendency as well to be gathered in a group and to start thinking, you know, maybe it'll start innocently, like, we should not watch these movies because it can cause people to stumble. That's just, and that's important for us to live by. But then it becomes, we can't watch those movies. And then it becomes, we can't watch those movies because if we do, it's a sin. And then it becomes, if you watch those movies, you're not saved. And then it becomes, to be saved, you have to stop watching those movies. You have to give it up. And I don't know what those movies are. Whatever it might be, it can be anything. But the point is, and the point that Paul is going to make all throughout this letter, is that the gospel is enough. And he's going to show us what it looks like to understand the gospel, something so simple, but to live by it. To show us what is the mark of a Christian in this world. There's a point, I think it's like the climax of this book, where Paul says, in Christ, there's no longer Jew nor Greek. There's no longer male nor female. There's no longer slave nor free. In Christ, you are like a new creation. The old has passed away, and by him, you are made into this new thing, and you are him. You are in Christ, and you are of him. And the way that we live, as we're going to see in this book, it's so different than human natural understanding. And so I think it's going to be great for us to go through. I think we're going to learn a lot. And we're gonna grow a lot together, definitely. There's so much for me to learn from this book, and I think for each of us to learn together. But I think it's just gonna be a good study for us to glean from. So let's pray and ask the Lord to really bless this series as we begin it. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your love and for your grace, for the gospel, Lord, that Jesus became flesh, fully God, fully man, lived on this earth a sinless life, but then took our sins upon him that we might, if we believe in him, receive eternal life. It's so simple, and it's so easy. But we pray, Lord, that we would be okay with that, Lord, that we would learn what it means to live by the gospel, to live lives that are transformed by the gospel, transformed by something so simple. We pray that as we move through this book, you would show us ways in our lives where we have maybe added to the gospel, whether it's personally telling ourselves we have to do this to be saved, or we can't do that, or we're not saved. We pray that you would show those things to us as we move through this book, and that you would teach us how to address them and how to remove them from our lives. We are so thankful for who you are. We pray that you would go before us this week, be in everything that we say and do. And we pray that you would go before us in the holiday season as well, Lord. We look forward to, really as a nation, celebrating you together. So we pray that you would settle these things in our hearts that we studied this morning. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, Amen.